Thank you, Inga, and good afternoon, everyone. Thank you to the IGF for organising this event and for inviting me to speak here. So I'm just going to pull up my slides. There. Okay. Hopefully they're up. There we go. So yes, as Inga said, I'm from Benchmark Mineral Intelligence. We are a market intelligence company looking at energy transition supply chains. Predominantly, we've looked at the battery to electric vehicle supply chain, but now kind of broadening that scope. We are looking at prices of all the materials from mining of those battery materials through to battery production, forecasting those materials as well, and of course, from where I sit, looking at the sustainability. So today, before I dig into the circularity component in a bit more detail, I just wanted to kind of pull up one of these visuals here that we've produced to kind of put some numbers to what we're talking to. So we are looking at where we are today versus 2040. We are forecasting that at least $1.6 trillion of investment will be needed to plug the gap between today and 2040 for the battery industry. Of course, I know we're not just talking about batteries today, but if we kind of look a bit more specifically at what we are talking about in this session, for battery recycling, that's about $157 billion worth of investment to process the forecast pool in 2040. For critical materials, again, significant volumes of investment will be required. Looking here, we see that lithium will require the largest investment at just shy of $190 billion. So really what this shows is that the supply chain that we're looking at, amongst other energy transition supply chains too, is kind of under pressure to scale and scale quickly. And with that, we really see discussions around sustainability and circularity only increasing. Of course, at all stages of that supply chain, circularity is both relevant and necessary, from upstream when looking at raw material and extraction. Circularity is key to minimize waste, maximize efficiencies, and of course, try and bridge that supply gap, as we say. Further downstream, and I'll touch on this in a bit more detail in a moment, of course, it's a question of how do we manage these materials that once they've reached end of life, to kind of manage them then to ensure that we're capturing those materials and not letting them kind of fall out of the circular economy. So starting first with a bit of a focus upstream, at Benchmark, we have developed a sustainability index whereby we're able to profile every company operating or planning to operate in the upstream of the supply chains that we look at. So I won't go into the depths of this framework, and I can always talk about that another time, but essentially what we're doing is looking at 28 themes across environment, social, and governance, and from there, 87 individual indicators. And so on the screen here, I've just pulled out a few of those that relate to circularity. So on the water side of things, looking at water optimization and water optimization initiatives that companies are employing, of course, circular economy strategies, and also plans that relate to waste and tailings management. I've then pulled on the right-hand side just an example looking at lithium. So what we see when considering operating lithium converters, so those that are taking mined material and processing it to battery grade material, less than 50% of those companies currently publish that they have a water optimization strategy in place. So not even half. However, when we look at that less than 50%, what we see is the overwhelming majority, over 85%, are employing recycling-related initiatives. And I think context is important here. When we look at lithium and we understand what some of those kind of key risks are, water is typically a topic that a lot of focus comes down to. So perhaps explaining that kind of high proportion of water-related recycling initiatives. However, looking below, when we look a bit more broadly at circularity, only less than 25% of operating lithium mining companies currently state employing a circular economy strategy. And though I haven't pulled it up on the screen, I know that if we look at converting companies, it's less than 30% still. So I think what we can see from this data is that there isn't necessarily widespread adoption of circularity practices, at least being mentioned by companies. We're definitely seeing some examples, but it appears that there is some room for improvement there. Now I'm really shifting focus to the downstream of the supply chain and how the conversation of battery recycling has really increased. So I've pulled up here just a schematic kind of showing where that material available for battery recyclers comes from. So first of all, it will be processed scrap. So when you're producing a battery cell, there are inevitable losses that basically means that there's some rich material full of lithium, nickel and cobalt, amongst other materials that can be recycled. So that's the first kind of supply source. Secondly, of course, end of life materials. So once a battery is produced, it will be deployed to the market. It could be a mobile phone, could be an electric vehicle, it could be an energy storage application. But ultimately, those batteries will need to be recycled. Now, thinking about the waste hierarchy, once some of these batteries have reached their end of life, they might go on to be reused in a second life application, though eventually they will be available for recycling. And so as we forecast both of these pools to grow in size and volume over in the coming years and decades, we're in tandem seeing a lot of policy interventions around incentivizing battery recycling and also in some regions introducing mandates towards this as well. So a final slide here is just kind of pointing out some of the drivers for battery recycling. And you know, some of those really focus on circular economy principles, i.e. closing the loop and avoiding the loss of materials outside of that ecosystem. And others are more practical considerations, for example, supply chain constraints. You know, I showed that slide at the beginning demonstrating how much investment is needed. And really that's because considering demand and how we expect that to grow, there are significant deficits that we're forecasting. So of course, recycling can, to answer the question of the title of this session, help to bridge the gap, but of course, in tandem with other production routes as well, of course, virgin mining. But I'm sure we can dig into that a bit more in the Q&A, so I'll pass back to Inga. Thank you.